You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
On digital radio, online and on 10:35 a.m.
Stained Glass Radio. On North Sound 2.
Welcome to Stained Glass Radio from North Sound 2 for a Sunday night. I hope you've had a fabulous weekend. What have we got coming up for you on the show tonight? Well, we'll be talking about the fact that there doesn't seem to be a day these days when certain things are not in the press or on TV. Same-sex marriage or adoption of children by homosexual couples or anti-discrimination laws with reference to homosexuals, the arguments rage to and fro, and especially, it seems, in the church. Recently, we spoke to the Reverend Dominic Smart from Gilkerson Church in Aberdeen, who, along with almost his entire congregation, left the Church of Scotland over the issue of homosexual ordination. And tonight on the show, we welcome back US evangelist Lauren Davis, who has worked in Africa with his wife Celeste for many years, and he's seen the horrifying results of a society torn apart by widespread HIV infection. He recently recorded an internet talk entitled Why God Destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, in which he says that our behavior can not only put a barrier between ourselves and God, but can also open us up to disastrous consequences if the laws that he has designed to protect us are ignored. Looking forward to that very much.
On digital radio, online and on 10:35 a.m.
Stained Glass Radio. On North Sound 2.
Right now on the show, it's time to go for our thought for the week. This week, it's brought to us by the Reverend Douglas McNabb of Newmarket Parish Church in Aberdeenshire.
Allow me to ask you a question. If you're a Christian, how do you relate to people who need help? If you're a non-Christian, what has been your experience of interacting with Christians? In his letter, James, who was a half-brother of Jesus, addresses the way Christians should live out their faith. He begins by warning against uttering religious platitudes. James points out that if someone comes to a Christian asking for the basics of life, such as food and clothing, it is not enough to wish that person well, or to say that you hope he has a good day or has better fortune. Nor, by implication, is it enough simply to say you will pray for the person. James expects you to do what you can to help meet the person's need. He states that faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. James goes on to warn that having an orthodox faith does not exempt a Christian from living out that faith through his actions. He points out that even Satan and his demons believe in the existence of God. Indeed, they not only believe, they act upon their belief. They shudder. In the same way, Christians need to act upon their belief and their faith in God, not by shuddering, but by showing the love of God in their actions on behalf of other people. James states, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Finally, James argues that the true Christian way of life requires us to have a faith in God and Jesus Christ, a faith not dependent on good works, but through the grace of God. And then we have to put that faith into practice in the way we interact with other people. Paul wrote about the need to come to God through faith in Jesus Christ in order that we might receive eternal life with God. He points out that no amount of good works can ever gain us this faith. Faith comes through God's grace at work in our lives. But he then immediately goes on to state that having come to God in Jesus Christ, we must then carry out the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. James puts it like this: as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. The challenge that both James and Paul present to Christians can be summed up in these words: genuine faith proves itself by action. If you are a non-Christian, have you found the Christians you interact with showing their faith through their actions? If you are a Christian, maybe a good way to check that you are living out your faith by action is to ask your non-Christian friends. The responses might be illuminating.
on digital radio, online and on 10:35 a.m.
Stained Glass Radio on North Sound 2. News from a Christian perspective. Stained Glass Radio News on North Sound 2.
The Northern Ireland Assembly has voted down a motion to redefine marriage by an even bigger margin than it did in October. The new motion was tabled by three Sinn Féin MLAs and was debated at Stormont on Monday. The Presbyterian Church in Ireland and Roman Catholic bishops had been urging MLAs not to support the motion. MLAs voted by 53 votes to 42 against redefining marriage. In October last year, a similar motion was defeated by 50 votes to 45. Sinn Féin tabled the motion calling for the Northern Ireland Executive to bring forward the necessary legislation to allow for same-sex marriage. It follows moves in the Republic of Ireland towards having a referendum on same-sex marriage. Pro-gay marriage protests were held outside the Assembly building. Amnesty International and a gay lobby group in Northern Ireland say a legal challenge could be made if marriage is not redefined in the province, but is in the rest of the UK. Amnesty International's programme director in Northern Ireland said international law was clear that different parts within a territory should provide in the same way for same-sex couples. School pupils should be taught that not all pornography is bad, according to a group of sex education campaigners. The Sex Education Forum, SEF, has been criticised for publishing a resource for teachers which suggests that they bear in mind that pornography is hugely diverse. The e-magazine entitled The Pornography Issue also recommends a youth forum website that tells teenagers, quote, porn can be great, unquote, and aims to tackle a series of myths on the subject. Norman Wells from the Family Education Trust said that to give lessons on pornography is to play with fire. He said, the intention appears to be to steer children and young people away from a belief in moral absolutes and to encourage them to think that there are no rights and wrongs when it comes to sexual expression. He added, to take a no-holds-barred approach to sex education has the potential to break down people's natural sense of reserve and to encourage casual attitudes towards sex. The SEF's publication features an interview with a teacher from Sheffield who said her 15 to 16-year-old pupils need the chance to consider the pros and cons and that there should be balanced teaching about it, not just negatives. Lucy Emerson, coordinator of the Sex Education Forum, said, teachers have told us they are nervous about mentioning pornography, yet given the ease with which children are able to access explicit sexual content on the internet, it is vital that teachers can respond to this reality appropriately. The government recently announced that sex education would remain a non-compulsory subject, following a consultation with responses from teachers, parents, and local authorities. Plans to open a Muslim-inspired primary school in Halifax, Yorkshire, have been put on hold after allegations of links to religious extremism. The Northern Lights Free School is being investigated by the government after a leaflet was sent out to parents by another local group which included extreme religious views. School officials have rejected claims of extremism. Department for Education spokesperson said, we take any allegations of extremism very seriously. We are investigating, and if these serious allegations are confirmed, we will not hesitate to take appropriate action. We will not take this project further until these matters are resolved. Newly emerged video appears to show Egyptian police standing idly by and even helping attackers during a deadly assault earlier this month on a Coptic cathedral where Christians were mourning five men killed in an earlier clash with Muslims. The video, shot on April 7th, first obtained by Mideast Christian News and displayed on Fox News website, shows men shooting guns, wielding machetes and hurling stones and possibly Molotov cocktails as mourners carry coffins out of St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Cathedral in the Abbasia district of Cairo as uniformed police watch. At one point, a police officer appears to help a gunman take aim at a courtyard full of mourners who had spilled out of the church. The attack left two Christians dead and another 84 people injured, including 11 police officers. When it was over, the only arrests made were of four Christians who were already outraged over a three-day attack that began on April the 4th in Kossuth, which saw the four men killed and homes, a nursery and a church burned. The events show how elusive justice is for Christians, who make up about 10% of the nation's population. Tensions between Egypt's Christians and the majority Sunni Muslims have grown dramatically since President Hosni Mubarak was ousted in 2011 and replaced by the Muslim Brotherhood-led government of Mohamed Morsi. And finally, the US miniseries that dramatizes the Bible's best-known stories, entitled The Bible, is coming to Channel 5. The 10-part religious drama will feature some of the most famous tales from the Bible, including Noah's Ark, Adam and Eve, Daniel in the Lion's Den, and the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The series rated well in the US this Easter, attracting more than 13 million viewers when it aired on the History Channel. The acquisition is uncharacteristic for Channel 5. Which is best known for programs such as Celebrity Big Brother, Neighbours and Home and Away. Marie-Claire Dunlop, acquisitions and channel manager for Channel 5, said, "The show has been nothing short of a sensation, watched by millions of people in the States. To have it on Channel 5 is incredibly exciting. These are stories that can't fail to draw you in. The Bible will air on Channel 5 this autumn." Stained Glass Radio News. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing The Bible very much when it comes on Channel 5 in the autumn. Having watched the trailer, though, there are one or two oddities in it. The trailers are still up on the internet. You can see them. And one of the things that I picked out as being rather strange, Noah is Scottish. You realise that when he says, "God told me to build a boat." Doesn't quite ring true to the scriptures in one or two places. Still a great spectacle, though, well worth a watch.
On digital radio, online and on 10:35 a.m.
Stained Glass Radio on North Sound 2.
Well, a few weeks ago, we spoke to U.S. evangelist Lauren Davis about his amazing ministry in Africa, along with his wife Celeste, how together they've suffered plane crashes, disease, physical as well as outright demonic attack, and yet God has seen them through. Tonight, Lauren joins us again on the show to talk about something that he's written and spoken recently about, something that's causing great division in our society and even now in our churches. It's the growing acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle in our society today. He uses the Bible example of Sodom and Gomorrah to make the point that mankind's sexual behavior can result in separation from God and invite his judgment, and explains this in a recent article entitled "Why God Destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." We're very pleased indeed that Lauren can join us on the line again from his home in the US. Lauren, welcome to Stained Glass Radio.
Thank you, Ken. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Lauren, why at this particular time do you feel it's necessary to write about this issue? Homosexual relations have been around for a long time, obviously so, since the Bible mentions them quite extensively. And historians tell us these things were quite common in many cultures, for example, the Greek and the Roman empires. So why bring this up now?
Well, I think that is an excellent question to be asking there. I think the main reason is found in Luke 17, verses 28 to 30. It says, "As it was in the days of Lot, when there was rampant homosexuality, so will it be in the day when the Son of Man comes." So one of the main signs of the coming of the Lord is that it will be like Sodom and Gomorrah, where it was rampant homosexuality. And so now, not only is it being accepted politically, not only accepted, but promoted, and also in the schools, but also in the churches. And the Bible said it's going to be like this at the time when Jesus comes back. And so I'm speaking out right now, and really it is a declaration that Jesus is coming back because he said it was going to be like this. And so it has been this way in history, of course. But we have not learned the lessons from history, and I can get into that in a little bit. But societies that got involved in homosexuality had a very bad outcome.
People are suffering from AIDS today on a huge scale, and you, being in Africa, would have seen a lot of this. The NHS says that HIV is disproportionately high among men who have sex with men, and the Terence Higgins Trust chief executive said gay men are still the most at risk of HIV infection in the UK. Do you personally think that AIDS is being deliberately sent by God to punish people, as some people say?
Well, that is a possibility, but even without factoring that in, It's just the act of homosexuality itself, a man to man, or that same type of act to men to women. If I can be, I'll try to be discreet, but be a little frank regarding the homosexual act. The homosexual act, it's really having sex in the part of the body that eliminates the waste of the body. And so it's full of bacteria. It is full of every kind of disease imaginable. Today, you know, everybody's thinking about using handy wipes, using sanitizing gel. Everybody wants to be so clean and everything. I'm sure it's that way in Scotland as it is here, even in restaurants or anything else. But the reality is where they're having sex is where the elimination is done in the body. That is a very unclean area of the body. And we wonder why there's HIV that is being spread. And as I mentioned earlier, that type of sex is also is being promoted, unnatural sex with men, with women. And so how in the world is a person not going to get infected with some disease? That in itself, in the natural thingy, not even looking at what the Bible says or if this is the judgment of God, but God has set up certain laws, like the laws of gravity. If you step off of a cliff, I mean, you're going to die. You're going to fall and you're hit and die.
So what you're saying is that God's laws and God's instructions, as found in the Bible, are not simply empty rules and regulations. They are there to protect us from yes. the designer. They're our instruction manual, if you like, which protects us from going wrong.
Absolutely. And it specifically says in the scripture, like Romans 1, verse 16 to 32, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, we know this is being promoted in education, in governments, but professing themselves wise, they became fools. So God gave them up to uncleanness. So the Bible talks about this act as an unclean act, the lust of their hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, this is where it's coming inside the church, where they say in the name of love, you know, well, God loves everybody, and so it's okay. And it says, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. So it's calling the homosexual act of vile affections. Their women did change the natural use, that is a sexual use, to that which is against nature. Against nature because it's filthy, it's unclean. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, sexual use for reproduction and enjoyment of each other, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of this error. And so it says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Okay, these are people that knew about God. They knew the Bible, but they did not like to retain God or God's laws, God's ways. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so homosexual act is an unclean act physically. I mean, anybody in their right mind should know this. The Bible calls it the filthiness of the flesh. And but now it's amazing. Homosexual marriage, not only legalization, but homosexual marriage is being promoted in the name of human rights. My, can you imagine why would they promote this in the name of human rights when, like you said earlier, Ken, they know that this brings HIV, it produces, it spreads. But actually, looking at this thing politically, the United Nations in the 2000 millennial conference that they had in New York City, they were talking about population control. Well, if you promote a sexual activity of homosexuality, you know it's going to kill people. Ken, I live in Africa. I've lived in Kenya for many years. And I have been in the morgues in Kenya. They're not like any morgues you have ever seen here. They said that a few years ago, 800 people are dying of HIV every day in Kenya. 800. I've been inside there. What they do, they just stack the bodies on top of each other like cordwood, like cordwood. And yet, in the human rights groups, with the UN and others, have gone to Kenya, and I've been there, and they are giving millions and millions of dollars to promote the homosexual agenda. They call it the gay agenda. But let's just be reality. That is just a cloak, a cover. Why, you know, we're giving millions and billions of dollars to stop HIV and AIDS. And I think we should give money and stop it. But in a rational mind, why would you promote and give millions of dollars to promote a sexual activity, an unclean act that you know is going to spread HIV, and then you have all these rock concerts and everything raising money against against AIDS. It is counterproductive. And
do you think
in Africa, actually, the Africans, many of them believe that that this HIV was promoted from the West to get rid of Africans. Now, that is their thinking, what I'm talking about. But literally, that is the bottom line, what it is doing.
Well,
it's bringing mass genocide.
Do you think that the UN is promoting this in order to for some sort of population control?
Absolutely, because if you look in their 2000 millennium agenda, that is one thing that they want to talk about. In fact, they're talking about population control all the time. And another thing, you know, under human rights and population control, they're really promoting abortion. And they're promoting it in Africa, in Kenya.
Yes.
Millions of dollars were put in a new constitution that would legalize, you know, the homosexuality and its activity in marriage and also abortion. Well, and this is human rights. And just if everyone would just think with me a minute. In Africa, where I've lived 25 years and we built 276 churches and villages. We live deep in the jungles. I've lived in tents, my wife and I, Celeste, for many years. But what happens in Africa among the lions, when a male lion wants to come take over a pride, the first thing he does is he kills the cubs because the female will not come into estrus as long as she has cubs. So he kills the cubs. And we say, well, you know, that's savage. That's being a beast. You cannot imagine anything like that. And the animal rights, everybody look on that in horror. Yet, at the same time, females being promoted by the human rights, by the UN, they are aborting their own cubs.
Yes.
And they are killing them. Now, what is the difference of the savagery of a woman doing that to her cubs, her child, and a lion doing that even to another lioness's cubs? And so actually it is a savage act, and it is part of population control, and I believe that along with the promotion of millions of dollars in Africa being promoted toward that, and also in America, because it's going to loose disease. And you know what? Coming back, Ken, to the U.S., I am appalled with all the disease in this country. We have some of the finest medical facilities in the world and doctors in the world. And yet people here are some of the sickest people in the whole world, and I believe one of the main reasons is the immoral lifestyle. And yet even the church today says, oh, it's okay. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. And so the church, the preachers, even with the natural mind, not even factoring in, defying the commandments of God, they're promoting things that they know is going to bring unimaginable suffering and death on their own congregation.
The U.S. is not alone in that. But the article you've written about Sodom and Gomorrah and your talks on the subject, Lauren, are clearly aimed in particular at homosexual behavior. But isn't it true that the Bible condemns not just homosexual behavior, but heterosexual behavior when it's not within the confines of a married relationship?
Absolutely true. But let me give some scriptures particularly regarding the homosexual act. And that, like you said, God condemns the other type of immorality also. But let's look specifically.
I mean, it would be just as disgraceful, in fact, if for example, I were to discover that our pastor is living with somebody outside of the marriage relationship, than it is to discover as I have done that certain pastors are living with the same sex.
Well, absolutely, and you're very correct on that, because the Bible teaches us that we are to keep the commandments of God, and there are other sins that you will lose your soul over as much as homosexuality. But homosexuality is the only sin mentioned where God literally will come and destroy a whole society, literally destroy it, even using natural disasters because of that. And so we know all over the world today there's adultery, there's thievery and things, and God is against all of these things. But the Word of God tells us, in Genesis 19, verses 24 to 25, that the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire. It was not the devil that did this, that rained this brimstone fire or lava to overthrow those cities. It was God himself. And so the reason for it is it's an unnatural act. You know, God did not create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've heard that before. But yep. And so, you know, he did it for men and women, for reproduction, for the enjoyment of each other. But people have changed the truth into a lie. In fact, it's almost unimaginable to me looking at another man and walking down the street and being attracted, or woman to the other. It is an unnatural thing. But now, let me take some other examples besides Sodom and Gomorrah that were destroyed because of this act. All right? The great ancient empires of Pompeii, they got involved in the homosexuality, and they were destroyed. One of the main reasons Rome was destroyed, and they had many sins in there, but they got involved in homosexuality.
But as you say, also, there were many sins, of course. There was incest and all sorts of other things going on, wasn't there?
Absolutely. And one thing leads to another. And we know, even with natural law, incest, adultery, whatever things, all of these things in themselves will destroy a society. But with this act particularly, these societies that got involved, Rome, ancient Greece, every society that got involved in this homosexuality was destroyed. The scripture says that we should look at Sodom and Gomorrah as an example. Look at 2 Peter 2, verses 4 to 7. If God spared not the angels that sinned, and also he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and he destroyed the old world except Noah, and God made them an example unto those who should live ungodly. He was vexed with their filthy conversation and the wickedness. And so when a society gets involved in homosexuality, it breaks the family down, and also it breaks the human body down. And actually, literally, God, in those cases, himself, it wasn't just the act itself and the disease that destroyed them. God came and destroyed them himself.
Lauren, whatever the consequences of homosexual behavior are, though, there are people who, through no fault of their own, are attracted to people of the same sex, aren't there? I mean, I have spoken to people on the show who have said that this is the way they are now. They have these feelings. I know that you or I would have difficulty in imagining these feelings, but this is what these people say they have, and but these people that I've spoken to say they have accepted God's will for their lives, and so they have resigned themselves to remaining celibate for the rest of their lives. They will not indulge in an activity that they believe is wrong. What would you personally say to these people who clearly want to do God's will?
Well, just to go back on your argument a little bit earlier, you know, saying they're naturally attracted to them. I'm a married man.
I wouldn't say they're naturally attracted to them, but they feel that way. This is the way they feel. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I understand what you're saying. But I'm a married man. That does not mean if I see a beautiful woman going by, I won't turn my head and look at her. it's just, you know, it's a man looking, but, you know, then you straighten your face out, straighten your head out, and not continue pondering on that.
Yeah. But you make a covenant with your eyes.
Yes. absolutely. So yeah. Even on heterosexuality, you know, you can be attracted to somebody that you should not be. And but God, they say, they're teaching today that it's in your DNA, okay, to be homosexual. That is a total lie.
Well, I know you that know, they haven't found the gay gene yet that they're supposed to have been looking for.
Yes, they're looking for the gay gene. But, you know, God never would send anybody to hell, you know, that is born a homosexual. I believe if you live in an environment where there's homosexuality around about you, those spirits will jump on you. When you're living in a society where there's homosexuality, those spirits will jump on you. Also, we're being taught in our schools in America that being gay, being homosexual, is as natural as being heterosexual. And this is a lie. So what we have a conditioning thing here, and people are being taught this. They're being taught a lie. Actually, in the classrooms,
yes,
they're being taught a lie.
Well,
about
yes,
both,
absolutely.
Both
this country, too. Yeah.
Yes. And so God does not create anybody like that. But everybody has temptations, all right? Even heterosexual, the temptation could come there. But I like what my dad told me one time regarding temptation. He said, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building nests in your hair. And so a person who has that kind of temptation, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Shun the appearance of evil. But it's being crammed down our throats in the classroom. Even on our sports stations here in America, they're talking about, you know, when is the NFL, the National Football League, going to accept gay players? And they're promoting it from every side. And so this is opening it up and also teaching people, teaching our youth. Well, you know, it's just natural. And so, but what it is, it's an unclean spirit. And Jesus cast out devils. And I put the program, Why God Destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, on national radio in Kenya, in Uganda, and also in Tanzania, not knowing really what kind of response I got. In fact, I put it, one of the stations I put it on was a big Christian station. I was absolutely shocked, Ken. We received thousands of texts and phone calls of Christians, professing Christians and pastors who were involved in homosexuality. But you know what they did? They said, we see that it's wrong. God has convicted us. We've repented of our sins, and we're going to change. And so over and over, we're receiving so many texts by hundreds and thousands of people who are saying they're changed.
Well,
so
that
God
is tremendous.
Can change a person like that.
That is absolutely tremendous to hear that. It's a testament to the fact that there's an argument about this. I know that people say it can't be done, but people can be helped if they're in this sort of situation. And I know that because I have spoken to people who have been. Lauren, it's been great to talk to you. This is a tremendous subject. We could go on talking about this for ages and ages. Unfortunately, we're out of time right now. But if anybody wants to hear your audio on the subject, it's up on the internet, isn't it? Where can people find it?
Yes, on combineharvesting.com. And then my regular website is laurendavis.com, LORENDavis.com. And could I close with a remark or two?
Yeah, sure.
You know, churches today are promoting homosexual marriage. Episcopal, Anglican, I understand now that the Church of Scotland, that Joel Osteen is doing that. Rick Warren is in church growth for homosexual churches, and Presbyterian of U.S., et cetera. You know, what this is, these churches that are voting that to accept homosexual marriage like this, what these are no longer Christ's church, because Christ has taught against it. I don't care what the vote is, 99 to 1 or 100 to nothing. this is man's church now. It's not Christ's church. The Bible stands against it. It says it's a sin. It says if you're involved in this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not go to heaven. The good news, if you repent, the Lord will forgive you. You can be born again, and he will change you.
Absolutely. It's what is it the scripture says? It says there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents.
And absolutely, the Lord will forgive and change a homosexual as much as an adulterer. But Jesus said, sin no more.
U.S. evangelist Lauren Davis, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We'll give those web addresses out again later on Stained Glass Radio this evening. Thank you. It's been great to speak to you this evening.
It's my pleasure, Ken. Thank you.
On digital radio, online, and on 10:35 a.m.
Stained Glass Radio. On North Sound 2.
And that's it for Stained Glass Radio. No what's on information this evening because we've run right out of time, such as my timekeeping, I'm afraid. Thanks to Lauren Davis for joining us on the line from the US. If you'd like to take a look at his website, it's www.laurendavis.com. LaurenDavis. And join us next week on Stained Glass Radio for our guest, Douglas Jacoby. And he's talking about hell. So if you want to know what hell is like, tune in to Stained Glass Radio next week. Till next week then, enjoy your bank holiday tomorrow if you've got one and have a great week.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.